This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Masked Singer Wrap-Up Podcast. After a week's hiatus, we're back here today to talk about Masked Singer Season 6, Episode 8, a.k.a. Group B, a.k.a. the last appearance of a wild card, a.k.a. What a Nightmare. I'm here to break it all down for you, the host of the podcast, Puya, the mozzarella stick, Zan Bikili, back at it again, and of course, back with me this week after the week hiatus is the one, the only, my partner in all the things, the second place to my first place. It's Liana, the bubblegum, Boris. Liana, how are you doing today?
Silver, let's go. I am doing fabulous. It was a Thanksgiving-themed episode, which I didn't quite understand given the fact that we are 3 weeks away from U.S. Thanksgiving. Maybe this was a Canadian trying to like hit in the middle between, you know, Canadian and U.S. Thanksgiving. I don't know. But you know what?
Well, what are you thankful for?
I was getting there. I'm thankful to have the Masked Singer back on my television screen.
What else? What else are you thankful for?
I am thankful for you, I assume is the answer that you're looking for.
I wasn't looking for any answer. I was just curious if you had other stuff you were thankful for.
Nope, just the Masked Singer then. I rescind my previous answer.
All right, well, I'm sorry. I couldn't hear you on the count of being first place and therefore ahead of you. All right.
First place in what?
I mean, many things. Do you have time?
Oh, many things. Okay. No, we'll save that for a very special episode.
Sounds good. All right. Cool, cool, cool. Well, let's waste no time. The Masked Singer wasted a week. I genuinely thought we were going to miss an episode again this week. So I did schedule some stuff around when we would have recorded regularly. And then it happened. And then the bus had left the station. So here we are. A little bit of a delay, but in your feed, ready to go for the weekend. Liana, would you go to the Maskies Thanksgiving parade if asked?
I mean, obviously. I told you I have the two NFTs of Miss Maskie. Hold on, let me pull them up for you.
You want to explain to the audience what you are talking about?
Well, I believe that I talked about how they were going to be launching the NFTs for the Masked Singer and that I had one. But now, baby, I've got two. And I could purchase additional ones for $20. You get three. It's a pack of three for only $20.
Yeah, we're not sponsored by them, so you don't have to big them up like that.
And you can buy with Bitcoin. Truly, the future is here.
We don't have Bitcoin.
No, but if we did, we could buy Masked Singer NFTs. So...
yeah, really, the investment of the future, the Masked Singer NFTs.
Yeah, I told you.
Yeah, I feel like if you invested in the Masked Singer WTFs, you'd be making way more money because there's a lot of those abound.
I don't think those are worth anything except for a shocked look on my face.
And I mean, if you're making a shocked look on your face, that's a win because sometimes I don't be shocked.
You don't be shocked?
No.
But what if you be shocked?
Then I'm like, what?
That's a pretty good shocked sound. I like that. Ah, yeah, they're all sold out. Oh, man, I went to go back to see. Okay, so there's two. Okay, so Series 1 mask pack is sold out, but Series 2 and Drop 3 are still available. Should we do it?
No, no, we should not do it.
Okay.
No. You know, I feel like everyone looks at this relationship and they're like, man, Puya is like the real dodo that is lucky to be with her. But here I am trying to talk my partner to stop investing in Mass Singer NFTs.
They are literally worthless.
Exactly.
They're so literally worthless. Okay, let's talk about the episode. Give me away from this.
I'll take you away and I'll throw you right in the middle of the judges panel for this episode. So no one's outfit was anything to really talk about except for Robin Thicke was repping a leopard print jacket. So that was pretty cool. Uh-huh. And it was the return of Joel McHale once again to the panel. Just make him the fifth judge. Why are we wasting time here?
I know. It's interesting because they bring him back every season. I felt like his presence was much less in this episode. I don't know if they overall spent less time with the judges, but I felt like it was just a remark here or there, whereas normally we get a lot of play up between the two of them. But I mean, Joel is always one of my favorites whenever he comes on. So I would be totally fine if they made him a permanent judge here.
I agree. The one qualm I have with Joel is he becomes a little shticky. And what I mean by that is that every time we've seen him now, he'll be like, just have them remove the mask. We'll know who they are then. Ha, ha, ha,
yeah,
ha, ha.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
He does at least one of those per appearance. So I don't love that, but I love his commentary. Otherwise, I do enjoy his presence there.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see. That's what I'm saying. He'd have to come up. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe it's a situation where he's like run out of jokes. So if he is permanent, I'd be so annoyed with him. That's always a possibility.
Yeah. Well, this is why The Masked Singer shouldn't be on twice a year. Yet here we are on season 6, episode 8. You know what I would like to talk about with you, though, real quick.
Okay. All right. What?
So obviously we missed a week in the middle of regular Masked Singer. But remember that one special Monday episode that happened a couple weeks ago that we didn't cover and we didn't watch? So I was given the list. So they did remember it was like a special countdown, all-time countdown episode, all right?
Of
so
the performances.
Yes. So here is, I'm going to give you the top 10. They put 10 songs in on the all-time countdown, okay?
All right. Quiz me.
All right. So number 10 was Peacock with The Greatest Show by Hugh Jackman.
Yep. That's right? Fair. Yep.
First ever song. Makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. That was the one that it was like, oh, what am I watching? Yeah, that was a great moment. I love that moment.
Mm-hmm. Number 9 is from a recent season. It's Yeti with Lonely by Justin Bieber and Benny Blanco.
Okay. I might not put in my top 10, but I can see it.
It's Omarion. He deserves to be there. We'll allow him. All right. Number 8 is Seahorse with My Heart Will Go On by Celine Dion.
Ugh, a robbed G.Otis.
We do not forget the accomplishments of Seahorse in this house. Number 7 is Thingamajig with Rainbow by Kacey Musgraves.
Oh, yes. That was the one that was in the promo. And I remember being so stoked for Thingamajig. Good performance.
That was the one where we thought it was Wayne Brady, right?
Yes.
Like, that sounds like Wayne Brady. Yeah. Little did we know.
Yeah. Wrong. I guess correct season. Wrong performer.
Exactly. All right. So number 6, we had Frog with Jump by Crisscross.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, my thoughts exactly. I was like really throwing a bone to the host of your official podcast here. I see you. I see right through what you're doing. Okay. All right. So then we hit the top 5, Liana. Okay. Top 5 has a total of 3 winners in it. So only 3 winners made this list. Okay.
It's kind of rude.
Would you like to quickly guess which 3 winners? I won't reveal till we
get to
the bottom.
If one of them is not the monster, I'm going to cry. So obviously one of them should be, okay, here would be my choices. Although this is obviously biased. I would pick one of the monsters. I don't care which one. They're all amazing. I would pick the Fox's finale performance, and I would pick the Lewis Capaldi Bulldog song.
First of all,
I know the Bulldog didn't win. I know. Oh, not the Bulldog. The Rottweiler. I know that the Rottweiler. Okay,
so give me a third winner. Give me a third. I told you there's three winners that have
the sun.
Okay, so all right, we move. You got all three. All three of them are on the list in some capacity.
Those are the three best winners that we've had.
Okay,
for sure.
So number five is the Bee with Wrecking Ball by Miley Cyrus.
Oh yeah, that was cool. When especially because like knowing it was Gladys Knight, it was like what.
Hmm. Number four was Turtle with Fix You by Coldplay.
Oh my God, the turtle made it. Very cool. Mm-hmm.
And if you recognize, that leaves us with three, meaning the Rottweiler had zero entries into this top 10, the monstrosity that is
Wait,
this list.
What? And it doesn't count. He didn't even make it. The Lewis Capaldi one is a classic. That's iconic.
The Lewis Capaldi one's sick.
Mm-hmm. I mean, all of his. Like, he just has a voice that just sounds so crystal clear. Okay, so wait, what were the performances? Tell me.
All right, so third place was The Sun with When the Party's Over by Billie Eilish.
Ugh, I thought it was going to be that one of the Lizzo song that she does.
Those one was good, too. Second place was Fox with the exact one you called out, Try a Little Tenderness by Otis Redding.
That one is so good. I will go back and rewatch that one. Okay, last one.
That one's great. And to add to that, the rapping at the end was a plot twist that I liked. So, yeah, mm-hmm. It's 10-10. And then Monster is number one with Stay With Me by Sam Smith.
You know what? I bet they were like, which ballad heartbreaking song do we put in? And it was probably between that one. And they were like, well, we got to highlight the winner.
Yeah, you think that's how they went about it?
That's my guess.
Okay, I see. Okay. Well, yeah. So there you go. That was the top 10. We listed it so you don't have to watch it, but you can always look at them on YouTube, which we definitely do. They're a good time all year round. Now, let's not waste any more time here, Liana. Let's jump into the episode. And specifically, let's jump into the Mallard here. The Mallard kicks off the show for us today. Oh, and they highlighted the take it off buzzer again. We'll get to it. It was stupid. The clue package for the Mallard. The Mallard's talking about how they're thankful for their family. They're holding an Allen key. So Allen, the name Allen could be in play here. There's a zoom in on a picture of Abe Lincoln. They talk about how the family has had challenges in the past. The Mallard's been under scrutiny for stuff that the family has said before. And then there was a little whale in a bowl. And then they said this song is from someone they consider to be family and then dedicate the performance to Luke Bryan and come on stage and perform a non-Luke Bryan song. So I was shocked. But a lot of this, Liana, and I jokingly said this a couple of weeks ago, should we really be looking at the Duck Dynasty now? Is it time?
I think we need to look closer at the Duck Dynasty. I mean, even when you suggested it, we went through some of the clues and it seemed to match up from things that we had seen previously. But then after watching this, it was the thankful for part of a family, Rose to Fame is part of one. The whole Duck Dynasty family is like the thing. What?
Alan Robertson is the oldest son of the Duck Commander.
What does that even mean?
The Duck Commander is part of the Duck Dynasty.
Oh, okay. Because the Alan Robertson or whatever is not on the list of people starring in Duck Dynasty. So I don't know if that changes anything.
Well, he's Phil Robertson's oldest son.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, he's not in the show. So I don't know. Again, I don't
know.
How
do you know that?
I'm looking at the Wikipedia page.
I'm in Wikipedia.
What does the orca mean?
Oh, the orca in a bowl. Orca bowl. Bull orca.
Who's the orca?
Guy, the singer. Yes. Mark McGrath. Mark McGrath.
Does Duck Dynasty people know Mark McGrath? Now, I can't tell you which one of the Duck Dynasty people it could be.
Oh, no idea. I just think it could be someone from that family at this point.
Who's the one who didn't say anything bad? Because we assume that it's the other ones.
Listen, I cannot stress this enough to you. The Duck Dynasty was not only a blind spot in my reality TV consumption. I only knew it existed because of the jokes people would make on other shows about it. So I don't even know anyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So The thing that I think really made us, and spoiler alert, Pooya and I did watch this episode together because we're watching it a little bit later. And it was during the performance when it was the duck monster that came out, the like person just with ducks super glued all over them. We're like, are they really going to be that obvious? And also the fact that it's the mallard, but also Jewel, Queen of Hearts. So I don't know. Maybe they are doing stuff like this season.
It just feels like you're flying too close to the sun, but also I feel like they've had opportunities to have it be that obvious before, and it hasn't been. So if it is someone from Duck Dynasty, kudos. Like, it took you 6 seasons to do something like this. I'm okay with that.
I think that's what's funny is that sometimes there have been things that have been so obvious, and sometimes there are things that are so hidden that it's just it's tough because you're trying to balance between the two of what is the thing that's the most obvious. Oh, that's too obvious. Oh, maybe it's so obvious that it's what's Dr. Will's strategy, right? Like,
The target's so big that it's invisible.
Yeah, exactly. The mallard clue is so big that it's invisible.
I thought you were going to laugh at your own joke there, so I gave you room. I was wrong. Oh. I will say. Okay.
I'm going to smash the hourglass.
What? That's a dated reference, ma'am.
Dated? That episode aired like 2 days ago.
Yeah, but it's old now.
Oh, it's old now. Yeah, well, I must be ancient then. Okay.
No, you're young. Mm-hmm. They have one more missing for their list of stuff they could have done that we've been expecting. Now we just need a performer to sing their actual own song in one season. We need one person to do that. So like Wayne Brady comes back and does Waiting for Forever. Is that what the name of the song? Flirting with Forever. Wow, I'm an awful Wayne Brady fan. I'm sorry, Wayne.
Wow. It's brutal.
It's okay. You thought the Rottweiler was the bulldog, so... Still not the worst thing said on the podcast today.
At least I got close to the dog.
No, genre. Because the bulldog was Nick. That was an actual costume.
It was a whatever. Anyway, so then the performance. Do you have anything else to say about the clues? I don't know. I can now see only thing but Duck Dynasty. I don't know which one of them, but I think it's probably one of them. The clues make the most sense. Also, the fact that I really don't think that this is a country singer solidifies my feeling that this is someone who is famous.
A country fan.
Yes. Or a country
person,
but not a country singer.
Yes. Because the whole thing was, the reason they dedicated it to Luke Bryan was because at one point that Luke Bryan had asked them to come on stage and they did, but then they didn't know any of the words to the Luke Bryan song that was being done. So awkward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's awkward. Right. Can you imagine?
Well, I have nightmares thinking of that scenario. However, you are a big country music fan, so you tell us about this performance top to bottom.
Oh, yeah. So play something country, Brooks and Dunn. I mean, this again just solidified to me that when you have something, a true honest to God country song, and the version that the mallard did was fine, but it obviously is to me not a country singer. So I refuse to entertain any thought that this is a country singer. Again, I was really focused on what was going on in the background because of the duck lump costume. The thing that was just all the ducks and then all the other ducks everywhere. It was almost like they were prepared for the mallard to go home, including the Chris Pratt video later in the episode, which I feel like they heard me because I said, and this happened the last week also.
It broke the streak now. No, it's been two now. Yeah.
So now it's whoever gets a video doesn't go home, but they're going to probably change back to it after this. Anyway, so yeah, I was convinced the mallard was going to go home, except always in the back of my mind, I have for weeks been thinking that the beach ball is just a gimmick. Sure enough, it was, but we'll get to that later. So the mallard survives another day from this performance, but I feel like he's out next.
Yeah, survived is key here because the mallard was able to hide behind a bad wild card, really. That's all it was. I did make some notes about the performance. My favorite parts of the performance were two things. One was the guitarist that had the cow mask on. The cow guitarist was giving me major Left Shark vibes. And you know I love a good Left Shark. So that was ace. And then one of the buildings in the background in the motif was called the Waddling Hole. And I thought that was very funny.
Yeah, that's funny. That's clever.
I'm glad I got a chuckle out of you, Liana. All right. So then the one clue, you know, they always have this new thing where they add a clue in that's just extra and it's usually thematic. This was a theme that I'm going to ask you about because, you know me, I've experienced two Thanksgivings total in my life. What is a turkey drop?
That I have never heard of. It sounds gross, but it seemed to be. Have you ever been to a sporting event where they throw stuff off of the top railing and it like glides down with parachutes or something like that?
No, I've seen a t-shirt gun. Is it the same? No, right?
No, it's. I mean, it's similarly. You can give away t-shirts. Like normally, it'll be up in the rafters of a massive sporting center or something like that. People will. The people who work there will throw t-shirts or something with parachutes and then the parachutes open and it like drifts down. Sometimes the best times it doesn't open and it just plummets and you're like not hoping it'll hit somebody, but like maybe secretly hoping it'll hit somebody, like not like seriously, but like that would be very entertaining. Anyway,
What you're rooting for?
No, I said not rooting for. Obviously, you must have misheard me. I said not rooting for.
No, I just know you. So I know what you really meant.
So this reminded me very much of that. And I think Massinger has done, no, I know Massinger has done stuff similar to this before where they've thrown stuff off. It like floats down with balloons or whatever. And it's just a different way to disseminate the clues.
All right. So it's a turkey drop and the turkey drops a clue that's attached to balloons, just like you described. And the clue for the turkey, for the mallard was crown, crown, kingdom, kingdom, dynasty. Dynasty, mallard, mallard, duck, duck, dynasty. Boom.
Yay.
Crack the case.
You got
one
it.
One of the duck dynasty. Final answer.
Finally. We don't know which one, but one of them. Oh, I did Google turkey drop. And according to Urban Dictionary, it happens when dating couples try the long distance relationship when they go off to university or college in September. So typically when Thanksgiving rolls around and everyone goes home for the holidays, someone gets dumped. Hence the turkey drop.
That is awful.
And here's it used in a sentence. I hope Bob and I make it past the turkey drop.
Was that written by Abishola? What?
I think they're a little bit older than that, but same energy.
Same energy. Yeah, okay. Well, I hope no one's getting dumped during Thanksgiving times. Although the food will be soothing for the soul, but be sad still.
Yeah. So anyway, look, it was fine. I think we've narrowed down it to one of the Duck Dynasty people. And I think they're gone in, I guess, 2 weeks whenever we get to see Group B back.
Yeah, again. They're gone next, basically. Spoiler alert for that episode. If they're not gone next, what should I do? What wager should I put on the table?
Please don't eat anything.
No, I don't have to. I ask you, what wager should I put down? No one said food.
I know. I'm just making sure.
I will do the Akiva. I will drink 2 liters of Coke Zero in a day.
Oh, God. No, because we have a dentist appointment coming up soon. We don't want them to know.
Let's see. 2 weeks. No, you know what's great about that? That's in exactly 2 weeks. So...
What are you going to drink 2 liters of soda before we go to the dentist?
No, they're
going to
be like,
your teeth are extra soft today. No, because then you're going to undo all the cleaning that they did. If you're going to do it, at least do it before. So they can clean all that sugar off your teeth.
If we know one thing about Opuya, like I don't make wagers that I'm going to lose. Okay. I'm undefeated in wagers thus far. This will not happen. No. So we're making
all right,
a wager.
Fine. All right. Fine.
All right. So then Jenny said Billy Ray Cyrus. Come on, Jenny, stop it. I swear I feel like they've told Jenny to just be more dumb this season. Because she went from being like the main detective who like nailed everyone within the first 4 weeks to I think this is genuinely a country singer.
I think they were giving her answers before and now they're not.
You think they're withholding and they're giving her dumb answers?
Yes. Or yeah, they're withholding. They're not telling her or they're giving her crappy answers.
Well, if the shoe fits, Robin Thicke said Kiefer Sutherland. Sunderland? Sunderland.
Sutherland?
No, it's Sunderland.
Sunderland.
What is it? Can you look it up? I don't want to leave sounding dumb. Yes, because I don't want people to be, oh, it's Sutherland, 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 Sutherland.
That's what I said, Sutherland.
You said Sutherland.
I said Sutherland. Sutherland?
Nothing makes sense anymore.
Kiefer Sutherland.
Well done. And then, yeah, the Chris Pratt message, Chris Pratt was like covered in mud and was talking about how, hey, Mallard, you left me to catch frogs and you're not here, man. I've been waiting for you. Chris Pratt, stop it. Okay. Mm-hmm. What a fall from grace, Chris Pratt. Okay. Anyways, we move over and go through metamorphosis and reverse metamorphosis, because we are back to our starting stage. We are the caterpillar and we are here.
We smash the hourglass.
Stop using dated references. Stop it. It's an old reference you're using.
Yeah. I love the caterpillar.
Why?
I don't know. He's just giant and cute. The face is still terrifying. I stand by that. But I kind of would just want to like hug it. Like it looks soft.
It does look cuddly. Soft. I'll give you that. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
But what did you think of the setup? Was like, oh, and here comes the caterpillar. Who do you think is the caterpillar? DM me your thoughts by Nick Cannon.
Ooh, yeah. Slide into those DMs, baby. Oh, or daddy, right? Because that's what Ken calls him. So slide into those DMs. Do you think people actually slide into his DMs and be like, I think it's this person?
Oh,
we should do that. Oh my God, we should do that. Do you think he'll reply?
No.
Okay, well,
if you think he's replying to a single person there, I will do an Akiva.
All right, so Nick Cannon.
No, are you DM? Please don't DM Nick Cannon.
Ah, you can't message him. Oh, so you can't even slide into his DMs.
You want the full Chappelle, no DMs, no DMs available.
Fine.
I guess you technically can. Is it if you follow him? Or if he follows you, rather?
All right, I followed him and I still can't. All right, unfollow. Unfollow. Quick, unfollow. Whew, that was a close one.
Whew. All right, Leanna, tell us about this clue package from the caterpillar.
Yes. So the clue patter,
clue pitter patter.
The caterpillar's clue package talked about how they didn't know their family growing up, and then they got a job at a call center or something. And then there was a pentagon, I think, or was it a hexagon? It matters to me. Do you remember? Five sides, pentagon. Was it?
Yeah, this is the second time a pentagon has been referenced.
Yes, five sides. Five. The caterpillar keeps talking about five. Okay. So then talked about nervous about meeting with their family. And then there was a guy with an eye patch. Not sure if that's relevant, but I wrote it down. And then a simple phone call changed his life. Not the eye patch guy, the caterpillar's guy. And so that's what they're thankful for.
Yeah, they also mentioned there was like a person with an eye patch. They mentioned the words over and over, which I wrote down. Accepted me with open arms. I know you said it. I'm just going through my stuff before I start, you know, putting my detective work down or my speculation down. This is the second time that five has come up. Obviously, the last time was the five lakes, right? Now it's this. Remember when I said the YouTubers that played the one instrument and then someone corrected me and said it wasn't them because they were a different group? The group I mentioned, Pentatonix, is still a vocal group. They are an a cappella group. And I could see it being one of them. I don't listen to the Pentatonix, but they've also won Grammys. So they have awards under their belt. I don't think we've been keeping up with the Grammys of it all here. I still don't know what the BB stands for. I did think, you know, I have my vault guest with the BB, which I don't think is the case anymore. But that is it's five. It's basically five, but I do not think it's a conventional like boy band or five because there would be other clues with it.
Did I tell you what my theory was?
No.
I thought I told you my theory. Okay, maybe not. So do you remember, I think it was last week's episode, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, whatever. The last time we saw this group, it was the clue after the performance, the extra one that they give. And the caterpillar said something about being obsessed with the pat, like the cut of Robin Thicke's shirt or like something style. I think it's someone from Queer Eye. There's five of them. Five of them. They talked in this episode about Ken was like convinced that they were adopted, but that's not necessarily true because as they brought up in the episode, it could be somebody who couldn't be their true authentic self out to their family. So that fits. So I think it's someone from Queer Eye. So I just did a little bit of a quick little Google just to get a sense. So obviously I think it's someone from the new group, you know, like the one, the Netflix one.
Okay.
But not, well, then, so you know how there was like the 2003 version?
Yes, and then but I like do have one? A question that begs answering. So what do you think the turkey drop clue of pop means?
Well, that's a great question.
Oh, this is Liana's I'd have no answer for you voice right here, if you can hear it.
This is me trying to do a quick, it's an acronym that stands for.
Go on. Don't let me hold you back.
Okay. You know what? I don't know. But after looking at some of the clues, I think it is Bobby Burke from Queer Eye, which the BB that we saw in the previous, the BB that we saw in the previous episode. BB. And it talks about how he was, so he was born to his mom, but then he was adopted by his maternal aunt and her husband. So if it is adoption, it could be that as well. And he faced a lot of homophobia growing up. He slept in his car. That fits what we talked about last week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, however many weeks ago. Plus it's five. So BB. Huh?
Well, all of this begs one question for me to you. Can BB sing?
Okay. Well, BB was in a few music videos, although not as a singer. Like he was in Taylor Swift's You Need to Calm Down, for example.
Did someone have a link to Taylor Swift? Did we get that from somewhere?
Yes, but I think that was Todrick Hall. But it also could be Bobby Burke.
Ooh.
Because Todrick Hall directed that video.
Ooh, gotcha.
Didn't he? Or did I make that up?
Are you asking me? Do I seem like I'll know?
No.
Oh, that's a great guess. Because like for me, the BB is a big one. The cyclone in the shoot, that's what I need to know on that TV. What was that cyclone about? Hurricane Bobby. Is that a thing? Was there a hurricane named Bobby at one point?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure there was a hurricane named Bobby. Hurricane Bobby. Let's see. There was a Hurricane Bob. So.
Was there a Cyclone Bobby? Do cyclones get names?
No, cyclones are just hurricanes, but in a different ocean.
No, see, severe tropical cyclone Bobby set numerous monthly rainfall records in parts of the. Where is this?
Pacific.
In 1995.
Yeah.
Oh,
but it would have been in a different ocean.
The week after my sister was born.
Uh-huh.
Wow, really no-sold my sister. Okay, I'll let her know. I'll let her know you disrespected her.
Hurricanes are tropical storms that form over the North Atlantic Ocean and Northeast Pacific. Typhoons are formed over the Northwest Pacific Ocean, and cyclones are formed over the South Pacific and Indian Oceans. But they're all the same thing. They're just called different
Yeah,
same storm, just different name depending on where in the world. I don't know. Why do people call things?
So if a cyclone starts in the region that it's supposed to, and then makes its way over to hurricane country, does it change names midway? Does it stop being Cyclone Bobby and then becomes Hurricane Bobby?
Well, I don't think that that's possible because of the way that
if the science allowed it, what do you think?
Yeah, but the science does. Okay. So I think that it would probably be whatever the local terminology would be. That's what people would use. So if your region only uses hurricanes, I think you would call it a hurricane. You would change names.
Okay. So yeah, it would change names. Okay.
No.
Interesting.
But if you're talking about it in that area.
I did not know this. So cyclones, hurricanes, and typhoons are the same thing.
Yeah, they're all the same thing.
Fascinating.
Yeah. Now you know.
It's like
now,
it's like having bread in every country, but it could be different bread, but it's still bread.
Sure. Yeah.
But then see, it's different though, because like if you have pita bread and you bring it over to North America, yeah, it's still pita bread.
Yeah, but it's like language. Right? What's bread in Farsi?
Noon.
Yeah, but it's still bread.
No, you're taking the fun out of it. I don't like it. Okay. We move on now.
All right, sorry.
All right. All of this to say, I do like your guess. Your guess sounds great.
Yeah, I feel good about it.
Very nice. All right. Well, then the Caterpillar performs It's Gonna Be Me by NSYNC. All right. I loved the motif. The beanstalk motif in the background was banging. I loved the butterfly dancers. The butterfly dancers looked phenomenal. The floor had some like greenery to it. I was into that as well. And all of this, plus it was an amazing vocal performance. I really loved everything the Caterpillar gave us this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm really liking the Caterpillar. I'm enjoying what I'm seeing so far. I don't think he's a professional singer, both from the performance and from my guess, but he has a really, really nice tone to his voice, and I like the way that it sounds. He had some good vocal runs in there. I thought, obviously, super solid choice. The butterfly backup dancers with those like butterfly wings. So I don't know if you remember this, but Akiria's caftan look from Drag Race season 11, she did those like butterfly wings. And it was
iconic.
It was horrible.
I don't remember.
Oh, okay. It was really bad.
It was a 50-50.
Not a caftan. It was not a caftan at all.
It was an oof-tan. Am I right?
Yeah, it was very much an oof-tan. And I'm pretty sure, I think she ended up in the bottom because of it. I don't know. I don't remember. But anyway, they critiqued her to filth because it wasn't a caftan. Anyway, whenever I see those butterfly wings, that's all I think about.
But it was good here. We liked it here, right?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
It was fine.
Also, every boy bander guest from now on deserves to be in that overused guest jar because Jenny, like, was like, I know who this is. After the pop clue, the turkey drop, was like, I know who it is. Give me the button. I need the button. I need the buzzer button. Brah. And then like Robin brought out the button and then they left us hanging with a cliffhanger. And then it came back and Jenny's like, I'm not going to do it. But now it's like, if I was right, then I'm going to feel like, well, I should have done it. But then you know that I wanted to do it. And I was like, stop.
Yo,
it,
what
Jenny.
Even
You're
was that?
Yourself. It was up. A weird no sell. Yeah, just stop it. Because then after all of that, you said JC Chazé. And I was like, congratulations. Yet another overguessed guess that even my uneducated butt can tell you is wrong.
Yeah. I don't think anyone is ever and on that panel has ever heard him sing because they keep making that guess. And I'm like, no, that
I
Casey
blame,
Musgraves.
Yeah. I blame the hot dog vendor NSYNC guy. Damn the disrespect I just put on. His name.
Joy Fatone.
I blame Joy Fatone for being on the season.
Not the hot dog vendor.
No, but he I said the hot dog. It's like baby spice, pie spice, hot dog sink.
It's hot dog spice. Oh, that's funny.
Because he was on the first season. And then ever since, they're like, okay, so then no Justin Timberlake, but we're going to guess everyone else forever.
Yes, that is correct.
Oof. And AJ from the Backstreet Boys gets mentioned way too much as well.
Yeah, I would definitely add him to the list as well.
I feel like we're never going to get another Backstreet Boy. Like, we got the one that everyone expected in Nick Carter. That's it. That's the one.
I still think we could get Lance Bass.
Lance Bass should have been on like four seasons ago. I don't know what Lance is up to. Busy not being on the circle, so we'll see.
I mean, we just got Nick Lachey, so I wouldn't count out any of the other boy banders.
I think we need a break. We need a boy band break.
I mean, this season might be our boy band break because blah blah blah. Because I don't think we have anyone that we're thinking that could be a boy bander.
I'm like thinking through the Rolodex. It's so confusing because we're eight episodes in and there's been 1,200 wild cards. I don't think there's a boy bander anywhere to be seen, though.
Yeah, so. I don't think there is.
Yeah, I think we're set. I think we're safe. I think we're safe.
Okay, so this is our season off.
Yay. Okay, cool. All right, Liana, that takes us to the next performer. It's the Queen of Hearts. Take it away on the clue package here.
Yes. Okay, so for the clue package... I don't remember. This was the one where there was people that were being down on her even when she got famous. The press wasn't kind to her. They called her a lot of mean words like stupid and simplistic and chubby. And then there was also a cowboy hat. And there were doodles.
Doodles.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were doodles. Yeah, this was the whole clue package was basically Queen of Hearts being talked down to and discounted and shamed, basically. And Queen of Hearts mentions that it was all because she was a woman. And then the performance happens. And this was the best performance of the night for me. Hands down. No discussion. No debate. It started off with a cappella. No background music whatsoever. It started off smoky and dark. And the vocal opening was phenomenal. The song River by Bishop Briggs. Mm-hmm. Right? Do I have that right? Yes. Mm-hmm. And it was just phenomenal. There were flames everywhere. And then the song picked up. Oof. So good.
Yeah. This was so good. I think that she is the one to beat for this group. I would be so happy if she were to be the one that would represent Group B. I'm really frustrated. We'll talk about it with the banana split, but like, I just feel like the Queen of Hearts is so solid. Her vocalization is just outstanding. And this performance out of all of them was the moment where I was like, yep, 100%. This is Jewel. Like there is no one else who can sing like this.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I got to Jewel because of the roast clue, but this feels more and more. This is Jewel. We're good. Everything's good. The turkey drop clue was home. So Jewel, once again, home is where the jewel is. You know, that's why connecting the dots. Mm-hmm. Boom. No, it was phenomenal. And I agree with you. Queen of Hearts should 100% be the one to come out of this group victor and face off with what most likely will be the bull for the crown.
Yeah, I would think so. I would think it would be the bull. I mean, we'll see how things shake out, but to be fair though,
we've got Pepper on the other side that could easily shake it up a little bit.
Shake it up. Dun, 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 dun. That's Regina. Do the shake up. That's fine. Anyway. Okay. So yes, I think the Queen of Hearts is the one to be here. I think it's hers to lose. I think this was probably her best performance thus far. She really just blew it out of the water. I'm obsessed.
Yeah, I'm an ace on Queen of Hearts. Ace of Hearts, if you will. Nailed it.
Ooh, that would be a terrifying game in the Alice in Borderlands.
That would be very bad.
Wait, no. Ace is at the bottom. Never mind, I take it back. Wait, no.
It would still be a hard one. No spoilers.
All right.
I think it would still be a hard one, but for what it would entail, not for the difficulty level, if that makes sense.
Okay, yeah, I got it. Okay. All right, let's move on.
Science. Boom. All right, so Jenny guesses Kacey Musgraves. Again, Jenny, like 4 for 4 on horrible guesses on the night, just having a shambolic evening, that Jenny McCarthy. Robin goes with Jessica Simpson, which I appreciated the line of logic he went through to get there, but I thought Jessica Simpson can't sing like that. So that's wrong, but I liked everything else you said. That was good.
That's such an insult to Jewel. I mean, no offense to Jessica Simpson, but like if I was Jewel standing up there and that's what I heard, I'd be like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, not good. But then Nicole nails it. Nicole says, after all the reasoning, I think it's Jewel.
Mm-hmm. I know. There was a moment, I think it was during the performance, where she's got this look on her face. She's like, yeah, I have it. And that's the exact same feeling that I felt with this one, that was, oh yeah, this is the moment where you can truly recognize that it's Jewel's voice.
Well, how did you like this for a change, though? We were given a bombshell in the middle of this, and the bombshell was essentially, just so you know, only this button can be used once per group. So It wasn't like unlimited guesses. The four of them combined have one press of the button per group. And if Nicole knew, I like that she didn't press this button. This button's dumb. I don't know when it's going to come into play, but we're getting close to the end of, I don't want any of these performers to get buttoned out, you know?
Oh, yeah. I've been staunchly anti-button from the get-go when it was introduced. I just think that unless it's someone who's going to get unmasked anyway, I don't want someone who I think could be a contender's time on this show to be cut short because freaking Jenny is trigger happy and just wants to slam something.
You're anti the performers missing out on performances because you're also anti wildcards.
Yeah. Well, okay. Let me be clear. The wild card twist, I think, is the best twist that's ever been utilized in Masked Singer because what it does is it allows the people who are true contenders to essentially compete the entire way. So we get to see all of their amazing performances. And then we kind of cycle out the people who probably aren't going to win anyway. So, for example, Queen of Hearts performed the entire time. Bull performed the entire time. The only person who I think could, Banana Split performed the entire time. The only person who I think could potentially upset that is the Pepper, but we'll talk about that when Group A comes back.
Pepper. Okay, sounds good. All right. So this brings us over to the aforementioned Banana Split. And the Banana Split, the whole clue packet, and correct me if I have my pop culture reference wrong, was this a Lucy spoof?
I'm sorry, what?
Like the Lucy I'm Home? What show is that?
Oh, like I Love Lucy.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I heard Lucy spoof? Like not like Lucy, like I Love Lucy, like loose, like something is tight versus loose. Yes.
What's the Banana Lucy? Split.
I don't know. Like it's a loose, like it's Lucy Goosey. Righty tighty, lefty Lucy.
But that's a made up word, Lucy.
Okay, whatever.
I was
Banana
ready.
Split. Yes. All right. I thought it was supposed to be an I Love Lucy.
Nailed it.
It was the 50s, and the whole thing was the 50s. I don't know. It was just like generic 50s, like sitcoms.
Well, then there was
the wife vacuums.
Yeah. The funny times. The wife with the Hoover. Ha ha ha. There was a beetle in the clue that I noticed, and then they were talking about the last time they worked together. Something, something, something. And All this made me think the whole time, I didn't have any other notes in the clue package. All I thought was, hey, Banana, you better perform this week. You better do something. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I'm going to be very mad at you. Mm-hmm. And then the performance starts and Banana utters the four words, the only four words in the entire performance with, hey, let me peel in this wheel. Because they're behind the wheel of a car at like some like diner. It was like a 50s motif. And that was it. And then the rest of it was the split or the ice cream, as Robin put, performing Letter Rip by the Chicks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look, this is my frustration when it comes to the Banana Split. I've been saying it for weeks and I will repeat it again. It just feels so weird to have half of the pair do nothing. It's like, the arm you need to amputate for the Banana Split to be successful. Like, let Ice Cream Lady go toe-to-toe with the Queen of Hearts. That would be the most epic powerhouse battle of all time. I would be here for it. I would say, look, I think it's honestly a toss-up as to which one of them would represent this group. But unfortunately, because the Banana Split is tied to a limp banana, there's nothing that they can do about it. And I think that they're going to be punished for having that appendage that they just can't get rid of, because it just feels so weird to... It feels like it's unfair, you know?
It feels... like highway robbery, that the split is essentially handcuffed to a gimmick. because ultimately this is a gimmick by having two performers. The closest they've come to having a pair be a legitimate contender was the Russian Dolls. And even them, we thought they probably won't win because it's a gimmick. There's three of them. You like, it's the Masked Singer. So you're going to want one winner. And I know that sounds stupid and like I'm taking the show too seriously, but it is serious if they get an L for that reason. And I think given the Queen of Hearts being right there, ready for the taking, I feel like they're going to have a hard hill to climb facing the Queen of Hearts. And I feel like if it was a 1v1, it would look better.
I mean, that's the thing. Theoretically, the banana split shouldn't be punished for the banana, but it's like my bias. Or I don't know. Like, I feel like I'm not the only one, though, that thinks this way, that it just seems that it's almost like you have to divide the talent by the number of people that are performing.
It's like if one of them is performing at 100%, the other at 20%, it's a 60% overall on average.
Sure. Yeah. Like it averages out. Right. That's kind of how I feel about it. I don't know if that's right. Maps. Maybe I shouldn't be. Like the show is going to take it.
I don't know. What I do know is that the banana split is a legitimate contender, and specifically Split is an amazing vocalist and I love the Split very much.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. She's incredibly talented, and the banana's three lines at the beginning really just sold the performance. So you go, banana split.
You go, banana split. You got this. All right. So the turkey drop was director. Does that give you any inklings?
No, that means nothing to me.
Perfect. Neither to me. So we can move on to the guesses. Nicole had Sutton Foster and Hugh Jackman. Jenny had Jeff Goldblum and Emily, who she called her Emily. Emily, Jeff Goldblum's partner. And then Robin said Kevin Bacon and Sedgwick. And Joel had the most random guess in Zooey Deschanel and Lamorne Morris.
Yeah. How did you feel to have some new girl stars mentioned on this episode?
My ears perked up, but it's because I've listened to Lamorne Morris's music before. So I was like, oh, yeah, I have. But Lamorne would not just sit there in the background and be quiet and play the piano. Mm-hmm. Lamorne would belt out some rap. So that is not Lamorne. Stop it, Joel, please.
Yeah. Okay. So I did look. So you know how we think it might be Catherine McPhee and David Foster? So I'm looking. I couldn't find anything on Catherine McPhee's page, but apparently David Foster was the musical director for J.C. Penney's Jams, the Concert for American Kids. Does that mean anything to you?
The director for J.C. Penney's Jam, the Concert for Kids?
For American Kids. Apparently only American Kids.
Is that the only director credit between
them? Well, when I Googled director on the Wikipedia page, that's all that came up. That doesn't rule anything out, but it was something that I noticed.
Let's see. Was Catherine McPhee in a show or movie called The Director?
I feel like, you know how their whole clue package was we worked together and we fought all the time? What if he directed something that she was in and they fought or whatever and people loved it?
You think
it? Is that
she was
thing?
Supposed to headline JCPenney's American Jam. Kids gig?
JCPenney jams. Like the plural, according to this article, like, it's JCPenney jams.
Is jamming. Like
the plural. I don't know. J.C. Penney jams. Like the plural is on the possessive is on jams. The Concert for American Kids. That was in 2006, though. That was before her time. Yeah.
Maybe. Ooh. Did you know that Catherine McPhee did a lip sync battle versus Jason Derulo?
Really?
Jason, yeah, I want to check that out.
Oh, maybe she was there. So in 2006, that was the fifth season when she aired. So they both did that in 2006. Maybe she was part of JCPenney Jam's Concert for American Kids.
Sure.
JCPenney. Wait. Hold on. There's a citation for it in her Wikipedia page.
Stop it.
Oh, my God. We've done it again. Oh my God. Also in June, McPhee performed at the JCPenney Jam Concert for America's Kids, soloing with Somewhere Over the Rainbow and performing a duet with Andrea Bocelli on Somos Novios. I nailed it. Yes, that's what it is. He directed it and she was there, and that's the last time they worked together in 2006.
That is, and I'm sorry, the biggest reach.
I am a genius. That's exactly what it means. Don't at me. No, at me. I won't read it. Just like Jeff Probst, my hero.
Again, another dated reference from you.
It's not dated.
It's so dated. That's from like episode one. That was literally that episode aired in a different season. We're in the winter now. That was in the fall.
Whatever. Anyway, don't be jealous of my brilliance. It's fine.
Well, you're going to be jealous of the next performer.
Oh, yeah.
We're going through it. Make room for the beach ball. Here comes the beach ball. This costume is massive. Like, I thought Liana was like, watch, the beach ball's going to go out first because it's a Muppet. Just like this is the Kermit the Frog. And then when the costume showed up, I'm like, this is people. This is not a Muppet in this costume. This is full humans in this costume.
The beach ball is people. It's people. The beach ball is people. Have you seen the movie Soylent Green?
Soylent Green?
Yeah.
No.
Okay, we'll add it to the list.
Sounds
all right,
like
keep
an
going.
Ingredient.
It is. All right, beach ball, let's go.
Okay, so the beach ball comes out and it's this massive like sphere with like sand on the sides, and it's got two faces, but they don't tell the judges that it has two faces. And then the beach ball's clue package is talking about that my whole life I was wild from an early age. And then I had my biggest supporter right by my side. Then we had a falling out. But then after I was asked to be on the show, we've reconnected. And I immediately put my vaulted guess in right as this clue package concludes. And then we go into the performance. And step aside the gremlin. Step aside the white tiger. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the worst performance in the history of the Masked Singer right in our faces. Right here, right now.
Okay, do you think it's actually the worst performance we've seen?
Liana, this was off key. It was bad. It was like we were laughing, but like I was laughing, feeling bad, knowing whoever's behind the mask has to unmask and do this again with their face attached to the project. It was rough.
Okay, but remember Wendy Williams, Mickey Rourke?
Wendy Williams literally became a TikTok sound after that. So no, that is fine. That is still better.
What about when Mickey Rourke?
I told you the Gremlin was not even as bad. I think this was the worst. I easily think this was the worst. Because those ones we could laugh at, like, this is bad. This was double bad. This was two people. When you talk about averages, this brought the average low.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
If you divide 20% total by two, that's 10%. If they had 20% performance, they stay at 20.
I think in the same way that the Masked Singer had the countdown of the top 10, maybe we should do the countdown of the top worst.
Yo, that would actually be sick idea for the off season.
That sounds horrible.
It's happening. We're doing it.
Oh, God. No, I take it back. I smash the hourglass.
All right. How about this? The winner of the golden ear will decide whether we do it or not. Okay.
Okay. So you then. Great.
We'll get there. We'll get there in all due time. Man. All right, Liana, tell me about the performance, though. Paint the picture.
No, please don't make me. Okay.
Oh, so then it is bad then, huh?
Yeah, of course it was bad. I'm not disagreeing with you. Of course it was terrible. Course, I'm just saying there was also other poor performances that were also quite terrible. Anyway, so the beach ball does Party in the USA, embarrassing Miley Cyrus. I'm sure she knows of this. The only good part of it was the light show at the beginning before the music even started. That was easily the best
sick
part.
That looked like there was going to be an alien invasion, and I loved it. The whole studio got dark. It was great. And then came out this, like, let me put it this way. You know how when you go to karaoke, Some people can just naturally sing. Some people you can tell are like trying to fake like some notes in. This was if you just got on stage and you're like, I'm going to read the words however I want. And I don't care if they're off key. I just don't. I'm just going to do it.
Yeah. And also like five drinks in. So.
Oh, yeah.
Very much that energy when you get the courage to go up on stage. Yeah, this was garbage.
It was garbage, but here's the best part. I don't think it was the most garbage thing that happened in this segment. The judges' guesses were more garbage. The guesses were embarrassing. So Robin Thicke not only potentially threw out Dakota and Elle Fanning, come on, and then also said Kat Dennings and Beth from
one.
Two Broke Girls. Mm-hmm. Yes. Which I was like, stop it. And then Ken Jeong said Kim and Khloe Kardashian. Stop it. Then someone said Kendall and Kylie. Stop it. Like they stop it. These are all incorrect. No, 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 no. And the best guess the judges had amongst themselves came in during the final guesses, which, yeah, spoiler alert, Beach Ball is gone, by the way. Long gone.
Oof. It was just so, I can't get over how terrible it was. And somehow after they were unmasked, they were even worse. Like, how is that even possible? Like, the Beach Ball costume was protecting us from the extra bad.
It's because, you know how once you're unmasked, it's like, okay, I gotta really give them the best version of me because now they can see me. This was definitely two people that were like, we can't sing. So we're just going to do it. And we're just going to move on. We're going to like take the camera time and dip out. That's what we're here for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, obviously that look, they looked like they were having fun. So good for them.
Mm-hmm. Yay. Good for them. Good for them. All right, Liana. So before we, okay. So we'll reveal the vaulted guesses for the judges and where they went. Okay. So, there was Kim and Khloe Kardashian by, I want to say Robin. Robin kept it the same. No, that wasn't Robin. That was someone else. I didn't write the names next to these people. Not great. But okay, so I will tell you this. Two of the judges changed their guesses to Snooki and JWoww. And Liana and I were sitting there. And immediately, the minute they said that, we thought, oh, that's a great guess. That's a very decent guess here out of nowhere. That was very good. Mm-hmm. Well done. Mm-hmm. Liana, who was my vaulted guess?
You got it right.
I showed her my doc, my notes page too. I got literally, so here's how I wrote my notes, okay? So my notes went whole life wild, early age, and then I wrote third line, honey boo boo, biggest supporter right by my side, Mama June. Performance hasn't even started. Honey Boo Boo and Mama June come out of the Beach Ball and Puya gets another vaulted guess point. Boop, boop, bop. We're out here, Liana.
So you have what, two now?
I have Dwight Howard and no, I have three because I got Rob Schneider. I have three.
Okay, you have three. Yeah. So there's no way I'm ever going to win this.
That's not true.
I think I am mathematically. No, I believe that I am mathematically eliminated.
I think I have one more potentially, but I think the rest I do not have.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's slim pickings. Okay. For me, for everything, it's rough pickings. Yeah.
What did you have though? Let the audience know. What was your vaulted guess?
I wrote down the Dixie D'Amelio sisters, but Liana wrote down the D'Amelios.
And here's the kicker. Liana literally has Dixie D'Amelio songs on her playlist.
That song I heard on TikTok got stuck in my head.
But that was still, you know, that sounded better than this.
Yeah, but it was auto-tuned. So I thought maybe it was just like really bad. But look, I don't know.
You learned nothing from the T-Pain of it all with the auto-tune?
Yeah.
We need an opposite of the I Understood the Assignment song for you. I flunked the assignment.
I mean, here's the thing. I'm going to lose anyway. What's the point of me trying?
Liana, that is not the mindset of a champion.
Yes, it is. In fact, it is. The mindset of a champion spends her time and energy in things that she still has a shot at winning.
No, a champion finishes strong no matter the obstacle. Right, remember the scene in Cool Runnings where their bobsled flips over and then they still carry it to the end? That's a champion right there.
All right, fine. I'll carry my flipped over Dixie D'Amelio sister's guest to the end. Okay.
Have you watched Cool Runnings?
Yeah, of course.
It's a great movie. Oh, love mm-hmm. that movie. Shout out John Candy one time. R.I.P. I miss John Candy.
Okay.
All right, that's dark. Okay, all right. So congratulations to, I guess, me, and condolences to the beach ball, who is now bye-bye beach ball, gone. And let me just quickly, I've pulled up our draft. Here's who's left, right, overall on the show. So we have The Bull, we have Banana Split, we have Caterpillar, we have Jester, we have Mallard, Pepper, Skunk, and Queen of Hearts. And Liana, we each still have four performers here in the running.
So. Yeah, that's wild. There's something about that break that they take for the baseball season that it simultaneously feels like we already had a full season. But yet, then when it's like, oh, well, we still have eight competitors left in the competition, like, oh, yes. OK, right. So I don't know how they're going to do it. If they're going to start eliminating two people, are we still only going to have one person? Because I think so. Group A semifinals is.
Yes, I believe we're going to go semifinal. Right. So 2 weeks in a row.
But what does that mean? So do you think we're going to eliminate one then of the three performances?
And then we're doing a double for the championship.
Yeah. OK, that makes sense. So then theoretically The Bull versus Queen of Hearts then for the finale. OK.
Right. So, yeah. So let's see. So following this schedule, the 10th will be one semifinal, 17th, mm-hmm. second semifinal. Then the 24th and the first will be final one, final two. Then mm-hmm. grand final on the 8th. That sounds
now they'll probably
right.
do. They'll probably do some other. Oh recap God, the of sing the along to the 8th. Yeah, and then it'll be on the 15th. That's my guess. I mean, 15th is when Survivor is supposed to end as well, so that would be my assumption.
That could make sense, low key. Yeah. Okay. All right. Cool. Well, Liana, that brings us to the end of this podcast. Is there anything else you want to put out there about the Masked Singer? And then, if not, where can people find you and what else you have going on?
Okay, so I have no more thoughts on the Masked Singer. I'm just happy that today we were able to learn that hurricanes, typhoons, and cyclones were all the same thing, just in different oceans. And if you're interested in learning any other fun facts like that, you can check me out on Twitter at LianaRHAP or Talking About Survivor, the dated references that I've been making all throughout the podcast over on the RHAP B&B with Mike Bloom. This week, we're going to have Ali Lasher as our guest. So I'm very, very excited for that. We've got some really stupid, really, and when I say really stupid, I mean really stupid stuff planned, at least from my end of things. So if you're interested in that, check it out. It's on the Reality TV Wrap-Ups feed or in the RHAP Survivor feed.
I'm very excited to check it out. The B&B has been a delightful listening experience this season, as always. So thank you for that. And you can find Liana on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lianaism as well.
Where I don't stream at all.
Listen, you're on hiatus. You could come back.
Indefinite hiatus.
Maybe. Uh-huh. Sometime.
Yeah, whenever I have time. Cries into overworked.
Cries into overworked. Mm-hmm. You can find me, little me, on Twitter at Puyaism. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Puya. I stream there about four times a week. Come through, say hi. It's always a good time. And 90 Day Fiance, still going strong. I had Asia on with me talking about all the nonsense that went on last week. I was so annoyed with what had gone on in the episode. So definitely check that out. And then next week, I have a familiar guest on the panel with me for 90 Day. Liana, who's on the show with me? Do you know?
It's me,
Mario.
It's me, Lianio.
That's right. Liana will be on with me to talk all about 9 Day Fiance the other way. So that'll be great. And Liana, next week is season 6, episode 9 of The Masked Singer.
Oh my God. Is that why you chose me?
I mean, now I will say I did. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, such good luck. Okay, great. Episode 69, sort of season 6, episode 9, whatever. It's fine. I can't wait.
No, Liana, of The Masked Singer, not of 90 Day.
Oh, yeah, that would make more sense. Look, it's very tired and it's Friday at like 10 p.m. and
it's
I'm exhausted.
Very tired. Okay? It's very tired.
Very tired.
Nailed it. All right, everybody. Well, that brings us to the end of this. Let's let Liana go to bed. It's very tired. Hope you had a good time listening to us. If you would like to leave a rating and review for this podcast, please go over to robswebsite.com/maskedsinger. That's MASKEDSINGER. Let us know what you think about the show. Any feedback's appreciated. The reviews help us be found by other people. Take us one step closer to usurping Bow Wow and becoming the number one Masked Singer podcast out there. You already know we're going to try and get there. Help us if you can. Either way, I do appreciate you getting this far. Hope you have a good weekend. Take care. Have a good one. We'll unmask you at episode 69, season 6, episode 9 next week. Until then, bye.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
If you would like to leave a rating and review of the podcast, please feel free to go over to robswebsite.com. Please feel free to go over to robswebsite.com/90.
Oh my God.